Thanks, Jerry, for giving me the privilege to teach God's Word. It is a privilege. I know all of us get the opportunity, if it's just to your spouse or to your neighbor, but we all get the opportunity to share God's Word, and it's great. I'm looking for a bug I can kill. Thought that may make a little impact, but we'll see. There's not one in the water. Jerry asked me to teach on the subject, how to get along with each other. That's a good subject, right? How to get along. Just for a moment, I'm going to have you think back to March 3rd, 1991. Are you thinking? Most of us were alive then, right? Everybody? 91? That wasn't that long ago. Okay. Most of you remember this person. He'll relate to the teaching. Rodney King. Remember Rodney? I'll refresh your memory if you forget Rodney. March 3rd, 1991, Rodney was arrested for driving pretty fast. He was 117 miles an hour, and then he got to 80 through the streets of Los Angeles. And anyway, and Rodney had some trouble. He got beat by the police and got arrested. But fast forward, May 1st, 1992, about a year later, a year and a couple months, there was a trial and the police were acquitted and everybody was upset. There were riots in the streets. Third day of riots, Rodney came on TV and now, let's see, I'll give you a couple quotes from Rodney's little speech. So they wanted to show his face and calm the crowds down. Here was Rodney's first line. Can we all get along? That was Rodney's line. Now, a couple lines later, he answered his question. He says, we can all get along. These are words of Rodney, I know, not the word, but it says, we are all stuck here for a while. I guess that's true, right? We're all kind of stuck here for a while. That's all right. And then his last line was, he says, let's try to work it out. Words of wisdom from Rodney King. So, we'll come back to Rodney maybe at the end of the teaching and see if he spoke the truth about, because he said we can all get along. All right, let's see. Now go to Psalm 133. I marked my Bible with a receipt. I guess that's okay. Let's see. I don't have one of those things. Strings. Psalm 133. So let's take a look at what God says about getting along, or at least what his goal or his thoughts are on it. Psalm 133, verse 1, very familiar verse. Behold, let's take a look how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a good thing. I mean, that's how God thinks it's not just good, but pleasant. For us to dwell together in unity. Now, we don't get together like this that often. I understand. Our daily lives may be where you may see one, two, three, how many believers. But the point is that this is God's will, that wherever we are, we dwell together in unity. And God says it's a good thing. It's pleasant. I wrote a list of L's. These are just a quick L list about living together, getting along together. Love one another, pretty basic. Live together. I know that marriage is a good thing. Living together in a household of believers. If you can't live with someone, get with people. Spend time with each other. So live together. Let your light shine. These are L's. Let the little things go, right? There's a lot of things that come up. We got to let them go. We got to relax. We got to just let them go. Another thing about let things go, let some of your abundance go. Share your abundance. Listen to one another. That's a great thing, right? Live peaceably with one another. And one of the knots, lie not to one another. Let's see what it takes to get along. If you go to Proverbs chapter, we're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs. I thought for most of us, we're going to be revisiting our youth, right? Because Proverbs is written to the youth. So Proverbs chapter 3, very familiar verse. And Proverbs, what is it? It's words to rule and govern your life. So that's good. God, not rotten these words, not somebody else's words, but God's words to rule and govern your life. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge, who? Oh, is that a dollar? I'm sorry. No, it's not a dollar. We're not doing the dollar thing anymore? Okay. And he shall direct thy paths. And that's a challenge, I think, for us in all of thy ways. I mean, that's really a challenge, right? There's a lot of things that we're good at that we kind of do. We're so good at, we just do them. We're good. And we may forget that. How about acknowledging God? Maybe there's another better way to do it. Or maybe you can even get better at that good thing. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we're to follow God's word. We don't have to, well, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 5. This has been shared throughout the weekend. It's been a great weekend with God's word. And we're still in the weekend. Ephesians 5. So if God is going to lead us, we need to follow, right? Ephesians chapter 5. And we've heard this before this weekend. Verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear adults. Dear children, right? We follow God as dear children. And then the key part, the second part, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That's how we follow. We can walk in love, right? That's a way to follow God, to walk in love. We've seen that example. Now, go to Proverbs, go back to Proverbs, and we're going to spend some time here. We're just going to kind of walk through Proverbs. We're in chapter 6. We're going to look at first how things that God hates. I guess that's okay, right? Proverbs 6, and in verse 16. Proverbs 6, 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. We're going to probably look at that last one for a moment, but think about that, how God said he loves to see us. It's good and pleasant that he can see us dwell in unity. It makes sense that he would hate that the ones that soweth discord among brethren, right? Discord to separate, to break apart, to have strife amongst each other. And you and I, we don't want to be those people that soweth discord. We want to help one another so that doesn't come about. Verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. That's a good mind picture, right? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. I think in the manifestations, didn't God say, I can't phrase it, but just how we wake up in the morning and God sees us. And I mean, that's amazing. That's our Heavenly Father speaking to us. And we wake up, we can talk to God. Verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Okay, go to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, and in verse 8. 9:8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. That doesn't always make sense, right? But if it's a wise person, they'll listen to God's word, right? We can't be afraid to step up and speak the word because we may think that they may not like that. Somebody may not like what we speak. But it says here, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. That's a good thing. We all want to get wiser on God's word. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy, or the Holy One, God, is understanding. And then put yourself in the spot. We need to be where the word's taught. We need to be where the word's spoken. We need to be where people are living God's word so that we can get wiser. We can get instruction. We can also understand in verse 10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge applied. Now go to, we're going to stay in Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. We're testing out Rodney's theory here. That we're stuck here for a while. Let's see if we can get along. Let's see if it works out. We could have invited Rodney, but I don't know where he is right now. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covers all sins. Now, Dr. Worrell shared a bit about this last night, right? The trash can. But let's take a look first. Hatred, how it stirs up strifes. In contrast, love covers all sins. Love is powerful, right? What's the song, the power of love? It's the power of love, right? Love is powerful. Love just takes care of a lot of things. We know we've been cleansed today, right? We've been cleansed. Now, if you would, we'll be back in Proverbs. I'll put my receipt here. Go to John 13. On the evening when Jesus Christ was, right before he was arrested and then later crucified, he spoke to his, at that point, 11 apostles, John 13. And he spoke to them about some great things. If you get an opportunity just to read 13 through 17 in the Gospel of John, it's a great section of just Jesus Christ. And he knew he was going to be going through, he knew he'd be crucified, and he's still teaching the word. He's not saying, I need some time, I got to. He'd been with these guys almost a year, and he was sharing his heart with them. And in verse chapter 13, in verse 34, I'll get there. 13:34. Jesus Christ said to the 11, because Judas had just taken off. He had something to do, right? Yeah. So, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. 50 days or so later, crucifixion 40 days, Pentecost 10 days later, these men were able to begin to carry out this love to a world that was dying for it. But Jesus Christ, that same evening, once wasn't enough. Go to chapter 15. So this is the same setting. He's just talking to the apostles, tell them what's coming up. In chapter 15 and verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it was just, time-wise, not long, half hour to 10 minutes, however long it took to say all this, he said it to them. And then go to verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. He says it three times in just a very short time. It's got to be kind of important, right? That we love one another. And the example that they saw was the love that he shared with them. And the love, as we heard last night and other and different teachings from Nick, about that love of God, that God loved Jesus Christ, he loved them, and we have Christ in us so we can love with that same love. Pretty amazing. So that's a good thing to do to get along. Go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and go to verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Verse 13, a talebearer reveals secrets, But he that as of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors there is safety. The word safety could be translated victory, deliverance, wholeness. Think about you. Look around. You can see we've got a multitude of... Now, the word counselors could also simply be that the word is counsel, or shared. Throughout our days and weeks and months, we are those counselors. We are the ones who share God's word. And when we do, we get, there's wholeness, there's safety, there's victory. If you go to, back to verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets. We'll read later about how the love of God covers those secrets. But he that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter, right? We see that you don't have to go tell love of God. We, what I said earlier about let little things go. But verse 14 again, where no counsel is, the people fall. Where the word is, people fall. Where we stand, we stand on the word. Without the word, we can't stand. We have nothing to stand on. We just fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So amongst us, there's wholeness, there's safety, there's victory. Another good way to get along is to share the word with one another. And that's a confidence. That sometimes when you're not feeling so up or weak or down, you got to know that you can go to each other. We got to know that we can spend time with each other, because you are the people that God's called out to help one another. We're responsible to help each other. We're responsible to take care of each other. All right. So we'll go to chapter 12. Not too far away. Verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. That doesn't sound good, right? Deceit, deceiving, deception. If I'm not walking in the love of God, you're not walking in the love of God. It says love thinks no evil, right? But if I'm not walking in the love of God, what can crop up in my heart? Evil, right? But to the counselors of peace is joy. We'll be back here. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Think about what Jesus Christ, he knew what was coming up. He knew what was set before him. Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 2, right? It says, Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We heard that last night, right? How that chasm of that faith, that we believed unto that faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew what he had to go through, and it wasn't at all pleasant. We know it was excruciating for him. But it says here that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He knew what was coming up. We know that we're not, even though we can enjoy where we are today, but we know that there's tribulation here. We know one day all that'll be gone, all the tears will be gone. We know that one day Christ will come back and we'll be living together with him forever. So we know that joy is set before us. Also look at 1 Thessalonians, another example of joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're looking at how we can get along with one another. And that, from God's perspective, it's easy. He's laid it out so simply that, you know, he's so thankful that we're here, that we're together. Whether we're in one group or wherever we may be, he's so grateful that we stand for him, and he's called us to do that. Proverbs. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. It's a joy that when you see a fellow believer, that should bring joy to your heart. When we see each other's faces, when we can hug one another and we can just be in each other's presence. That's joy. That's joy right now, right? And when you see it, and again, we can rejoice each time we're together. So how can we get along? We can rejoice in each other's presence. Back to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's a good thing, right? I mean, and look around. Each one of you, we're wise because of what you know on God's word. You apply God's word, that makes you wise, right? One thing, and you walk on that one thing, and you're wiser for it. So it makes sense that hang around with wise people and you're going to get wiser. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Well, we don't want that, right? So how to get along with each other, spend time with each other, and seek out that wisdom from one another. Go to Proverbs 15, verse 1. 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Word for soft could be it's tender. God is tender with us. Okay, there's hardness in the world, but there's tenderness and loving with God. You can turn away wrath by your tenderness and your compassion toward one another. So be tender with one another. Grievous words, those are words that tear up, that cut and bite. And they stir up anger, and that just divides the body. So be tender with one another. Go to verse 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Yesterday kind of felt like it was a lot of eating. At least but that's good. But go to, we'll look at an example of a feast. Let's go to Isaiah. We'll be back here. Go to Isaiah 25. 25. Feast is good. It's good to eat and good to enjoy the fruits of our labor. It's good to enjoy what God has made available to us. Isaiah 25. We'll just pick it up here in verse 4. Isaiah 25:4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. Think about all these great pictures with God. God's word is full of mind pictures when we can just look at them and see what God does for us. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against a wall, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as a heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Verse 6, and in this mountain shall the Lord of the host make unto all people a feast of fat things. Fat things. Things that are good to eat, right? Things that are good to eat. Okay, a feast of wines on the lees. Now, lees is the sediment that comes. So it's a separation of, this is good wine, kind of like wine that Jesus Christ probably, when he turned the water to wine, it was the best wine. This is where you're separating the sediment from the good wine, and, you know, God wants to give us some good stuff, only the best. So we, let's see, where was it? Verse 6, the Lord of hosts make unto a people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death and victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Can we rejoice in salvation? What a great thing. From death unto what? We've got that. We won't go there, but you can look at 1 Corinthians 15 sometime, 54 to 58, how it describes how death is swallowed up in victory. And go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 15, 18. Again, we're looking, how can we get along with each other? We can rejoice in salvation. We can enjoy that feast that God has provided. We can enjoy spending time together. Proverbs 15, 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. I know from sitting here on Pentecost, Joe taught on anger and how it has no place. It has no place in the body of Christ. We cannot allow ourselves to let anger rise up, because look what it does. Where was I again? Sorry. It stirs up strife. It separates the body. That's one of the things that God hates, is discord in the body. So we can't allow it. We've got to fight for this one body. It's set. Christ is ahead. But we can't allow one another to, we can't allow any strife to come up. We got to speak the word. Jump in there, okay? Because you love that person, that's why you do it. Go to, we'll stay in 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You know, when everybody gets their own idea about things, things don't get done. With the counsel of the word, things get done. There's always things that get done in life, right? Everybody has different ideas, and people are good at this and that, but we've got to acknowledge God in all our ways, right? Every way. And we get things done. We won't get disappointed. The world has, you know, you look at our government, there's always problems, right? I mean, that's normal. We understand that. But with God, we can be united in that. We can get things done together, because we can look to him, not to people. Okay, go to verse 28, same chapter. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Think about what we know, 2 Timothy 2:15, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's our responsibility to know God's word. It's our responsibility. And we're not so quick to just mouth things out of our mouth, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out. We need to think before we speak, right? Think, what does God say? Let's look at what God's word says. Let's take our time, go to the word and say, God's word says this on that matter. Then we move on. We get things done. Go to chapter 17. I think Rodney would be proud of us today. We're working it out, right? We're working out these things. Why can't we all just get along? All right. It does take work, though, right? It takes work to make this thing work. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Sometimes things happen, right, that don't need to be spread throughout the whole body of Christ. Some things you take care of it there. You don't need to repeat that matter. Because what's it say here? He that separates friends. And that's just, again, God hates that. So you got to have wisdom. You got to walk with God. You got to know when you take care of certain matters, you take care of them, and then you move on. Things happen. We know we've got an adversary, but things don't always go smooth. But when we walk with God, we can get things together. We can move ahead. We can get the victory. Go to verse 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Great verse, right? But a broken Spirit drieth the bones. Bones get brittle, they break, and we don't want things breaking. That's not good. A merry heart. A merry could also be the word for joy or rejoice. Doeth good like a medicine. And it's healing, right? Your life is healing to the world. Your heart especially healing to the household of faith that we are here. So never forget your knowledge, your wisdom, your heart, your walk with God is healing to one another. And we need each other. Go to 18:24. 18:24. It says, "A slothful." Is that where I went? That's 19. That's probably a good verse too. But 18:24. I was in 19. "A man that hath many friends showeth himself friendly, and there was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Jesus Christ, in that same night when he met with, before he was arrested and later crucified, he told his 11 apostles that they were his friends. He called them friends. Jesus Christ is our friend. He's our big brother. He's our friend. And that's to have a friend in Jesus Christ is an amazing thing. Isn't there one of the songs? Which one? We have a better friend. That's true. And we together are friends, right? It's not just a worldly thing where it's not like, what does Philadelphia mean? Brotherly love, right? But that comes and that goes, right? Brotherly love doesn't always stick around. But the love of God liveth and abideth forever, and there's nothing that can separate us. So we're true friends. Go to 19, verse 20. "Hear counsel and receive instruction." Chapter 19, verse 20. "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be as wise in thy latter end." Now, I think as Camille prayed, we may not be quiet in our latter end, right? We've got some time, but the point is, when it's all said and done, and then we go to verse 21. "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." We may get some wonderful ideas or not so wonderful, different thoughts, but it's a counsel of the Lord that stands, right? It's God's word, and that's really what binds us together. Helps us get along. And go to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, very familiar verse. Most of us, 27:17. "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. There's no bugs up here to kill. That's good, though. Hebrews chapter 5. Sometimes in life we kind of get dull, right? You ever felt dull? The doldrums, the words of the world can cause you to be dull. All the arguments about politics and social events and everybody's idea about the environment. And after a while, if that's what you focus on, you'll be like this. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, or difficult to explain, seeing you are dull of hearing." Once in a while, maybe we'll be that kind of dull, but we need the word, that sharpening of the word kind of cuts through that and causes that dullness to kind of just be brushed aside. So the word of God can just help, we can help each other just by, because the world is a crazy place, and it does, there is confusion in every evil work in the world, and so we can't allow the world's words to dictate our life. We have to allow the word, and so we can be that sharpening tool for one another. And go to Proverbs 31. This is our last Proverbs verse, and we'll close in Acts. This is the section on the virtuous woman, but involves a family too. Proverbs 31 and verse 28. And I think you think about how God's unity dwells in a family here. It says in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Think of that picture. Just think of that family hanging out. Kids are up, husband, the wife. And it's just that you can see that they're blessed. They're happy. They're joyful. They're able to stand together on God's word. God intended that family just to make, that's the unity right there in that family, in that husband, wife, kids. And bless you. Go to Acts chapter 2. We'll finish up here in Acts chapter 2. And then we'll see how we did. See if we made it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. Right after on the day of Pentecost, when Peter spoke and then shared God's word in verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. We've got an untoward generation today, right? It'll always be with us until Christ returns. And then they, verse 41, that gladly received his word, were baptized in Jesus Christ. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Excuse me. And they continued steadfastly. All right, here's some other keys, right, to live together, get along together. Continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We just stay steadfast on God's word. Fellowship. That's not a hard one, right? I think we're pretty good at that. Breaking of bread, prayers, that we can spend time eating together, we can spend time praying together. And respect came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The word was believed, signs followed. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and every man as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, undivided loyalty, praising God and having favor, sharing grace with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So a result of getting along together, of standing together, is that the word moves and that people are added to the church, because that's God's goal, right? We still have a goal of moving the word over the world. It's still, there it is. It still sits in front of us, and it's God's desire. And we're a part of it right here, sitting in this, not room, sitting outside here. We're a part of doing that right this very moment. So, Rodney, yeah, we are stuck here for a while. We will get out of here at some point. In the meantime, we're going to do our best to make it work and make this one body flourish. So thank you very much.